G'day and welcome to Ad Nauseam Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the management of diabetic ketoacidosis. The resources are the Queensland Health Management of DKA in Adults Guideline and Royal Children's Hospital Diabetic Ketoacidosis Guideline and also Dunn's Emergency Manual. Firstly, a definition of diabetic ketoacidosis. We've got hyperglycemia, acidemia and ketonemia. For hyperglycemia, a BGL of greater than 11 or a known diabetic, noting that 30% are now euglycemic SGLT2 associated diabetic ketoacidoses with a BGL less than 11. Acidemia, pH less than 7.3 and bicarb less than 15 millimoles per litre. Ketonemia, ketonuria greater than or equal to 2 plus on the dipstick or serum ketones greater than or equal to 3 millimoles per litre, noting that the Queensland Government guidelines suggest a greater than 1.5. Dunn's Table 2 shows mild DKA is a pH of 7.2 to 3, bicarb 10 to 15, fluid deficit 5%, moderate pH 7.1 to 2, bicarb 5 to 10, fluid deficit 10%, severe pH less than 7.1, bicarb less than 5, fluid deficit approximately 10%. The management principles for DKA are firstly to correct dehydration, secondly to reverse the ketosis, acidosis and hyperglycemia, 3 to identify and treat the precipitating cause, 4 to monitor for complications of DKA and its treatment, so cerebral edema, electrolyte derangement and hypoglycemia, and supportive care. Firstly, for resuscitation, we are correcting the fluid deficit or dehydration and also adding in maintenance fluid starting in the first 60 minutes. Fluid resuscitation for adults is to counter a deficit of approximately 5 to 10 litres over 48 hours, and for kids over 48 hours, the deficit approximately 5 to 10%. For boluses of fluid, for kids, 10 mL per kilo of normal saline, up to 30 mL per kilo if there's evidence of shock with tachycardia and delayed central cap refill. For adults, a litre of normal saline or Hartmann's as a stat, plus or minus a repeat if there's hypotension, so systolic blood pressure less than 100, and consider bicarb water if there's evidence of acute renal failure. For the replacement of deficit in kids, we're adding 40 millimoles of KCL to a saline bag if the potassium is less than 5.5 and the child is passing urine. The rate is the maintenance as a 4-2-1 rule, plus the percent deficit over 48 hours calculated per hour with those two numbers added together. We're going to change to saline and 5% glucose plus up to 60 millimoles of KCL once the BGL is less than or equal to 15. In adults, we're starting with 1,000 mils of saline at 500 mils an hour for the second and third hour, making a litre. And we're slowing to 125 to 250 mils an hour thereafter, depending on the deficit. We can add 0.29% KCL mini bags, so the 10 millimoles per 100 mils bags via a Y-site, but incorporate their volume into the overall fluid resuscitation. For example, if the potassium is 3.7 initially, we need 20 to 30 millimoles of potassium per hour. That's 200 to 300 mils of volume per hour. So we should consider reducing the baseline rate of fluid, the saline bag, from 500 mils an hour down to 200 to 300 mils an hour to make an overall fluid administration rate of approximately 500 mils an hour. For specific management of DKA, we need to reverse the ketosis and acidosis and hyperglycemia. We shouldn't start insulin until the potassium is greater than 3.5, so replace the potassium first and then start an insulin infusion. The short-acting insulin, so ACTrapid at 0.1 units per kilo per hour, maximum of 10 units per hour for kids and adults through the same drip as the glucose line, just in case there's a problem with the line that's affecting both. We should reduce the insulin rate to 0.05 units per kilo per hour for children needing inter-hospital transfer, just because of less monitoring available during transfer if they're less than 5 years old and also if the BGL is less than 15 at the time of insulin commencement. We should liaise with endocrinology regarding giving the regular dose of long-acting insulin early in that first hour, and that's suggested in the Queensland guideline. For kids, we're going to increase the glucose to 10%, so saline plus 10% glucose plus KCL, before reducing the insulin rate to keep the BGL at 5 to 10. For adults, we're going to start 10% glucose at 100 mils an hour once the BGL is less than or equal to 15, and keeping in mind the overall fluid volume per hour. When are we changing to subcutaneous insulin? Well, when the patient is alert and metabolically stable at a pH of greater than 7.3, bicarb greater than 15, just prior to a meal, and we're going to continue the insulin infusion 30 minutes after the first dose of subcutaneous rapid-acting insulin, and then stop. Further specific management for DKA is seeking and treating the cause or precipitant. This is often an infection, so sepsis, for example, with pneumonia or a urine infection or a viral illness, but also need to consider inadequate insulin or first presentation. For supportive management of DKA, we're going to monitor for complications, which are mainly electrolyte derangement and cerebral edema. We're doing hourly BGL and ketone, aiming to decrease the BGL by 3 to 5 millimoles per litre per hour, with a higher rate of drop is a higher risk of cerebral edema. We're doing our blood gas at 2 hours and then 2 to 4 hourly with electrolytes just to monitor potassium and sodium. For adults, we're replacing potassium at 10 millimoles per hour for a K between 4 and 5, 20 to 30 millimoles per hour of a K less than 4, and 40 millimoles per hour with a K less than 3. And that needs to be via central access. We need to think about VTE prophylaxis and give it early, and the patient needs cardiac monitoring and regular neuro observations to pick up early evidence of cerebral edema. Moving on to complications, cerebral edema has a 70% mortality and is associated with the change in osmolarity with resuscitation of fluid. The risk factors for cerebral edema are first presentation DKA, less than 5 years old, long history of poor control. For signs, early headache, irritability, lethargy, vomiting, late, depressed consciousness, incontinence, thermal instability, and very late, bradycardia, increased blood pressure, respiratory impairment, and seizures. A CT brain should be obtained with concern of cerebral edema that's worsening, but should not preclude treatment. We need to nurse head up with a SATs of greater than 94%, reduce the fluid infusion rate by one-third, contact retrieval if we're not in a tertiary centre, and give mannitol immediately if we're suspecting a significant cerebral edema. Do not wait for cerebral imaging. We're giving mannitol 20%, which is 100 grams in 500 mils. For kids, it's 0.5 grams per kilo, intravenously over 20 minutes, plus or minus repeat in the following 60 minutes, as required. For adults, 100 mils, so 20 grams over 20 minutes, plus or minus repeat. For adults, we can also consider dexamethasone 8 milligrams intravenously, but discuss that with endocrine and ICU, given the impact on glucose. For hyperviscosity, as a complication, thromboembolism and renal failure, we need to ensure the patient's on VTE prophylaxis and monitor the EUC for worsening renal function. For electrolyte disturbance, so potassium, sodium and glucose, for hypoglycemia, bolusing 2 mL per kilo of 10% glucose and changing 5% glucose to 10% glucose in kids, and only reduce insulin if there's no improvement after being on 10% glucose. For potassium, we've mentioned the replacement rates above. For hypophosphatemia, we're only replacing if there's a severe deficit of less than 0.4 millimoles per litre. We also need to consider aspiration risk and the requirement for advanced airway management, noting that is a hazardous endeavour. For supportive management, we need a weight to calculate the fluid deficit, nursing the patient head up for cerebral edema risk, consider a nasogastric tube to prevent aspiration, particularly in kids. Kneel by mouth with ice chips for comfort. We need at least 2 cannulas, but usually 3. Monitoring airway breathing and circulation with continuous cardiac monitoring and SATs. And consider an indwelling catheter for input-output monitoring if there's problems with the patient passing urine. For disposition, referrals, endocrinology, ICU or PICU, and diabetic educator, and retrieval if we're not in a tertiary centre. Okay, so we've talked about the definition of diabetic ketoacidosis, the management principles, correction of dehydration, reversal of ketosis, acidosis, hypoglycemia, identification and treatment of the precipitating cause, monitoring for complications of DKA and its treatment, and also supportive care and disposition. Thanks for listening.